The Bible and Modern Science with your host, Dr. Joseph Henson of the Science Faculty of Bob Jones University. Here is Dr. Henson.
For a number of programs now, we have been addressing ourselves to the general subject of the limitations of science. Some of you may feel that we have spent more time than is necessary, and yet my own impression of this is that it is an area where the average person has far too little understanding of these limitations. And if that is the case, then the result is that the individual is apt to impute to science an authority which science really doesn't deserve. And let's bring together now all of this into a conclusion, and hopefully it will allow each of you to have a much better basis for dealing with those things that are claimed to be science. I mentioned to you earlier that many people have the idea that science is simply an omniscient solver of all problems, a magic giver of all good things, and the only true source of knowledge. Now, we have dealt at some length with each of those and discovered that really none of them is true. I mentioned, I believe, to you earlier that many of the problems that we face, the real problems that we face, are because of science. Not that science is going to solve the problems, but the reason we have the problems is because of science. There are certain areas of real pollution that the reason for that is because of science. If we didn't have science, we wouldn't have that problem. So it is not going to solve all these problems. It is the basis of many of the problems. And the giver of good things, the antibiotics, go down the list of all the things that science has made possible. And each of those, probably, there are pros and cons about them. So along with the good, there are some difficulties. And we've discussed at some length the idea that science really is not the source of all true knowledge. Now, the fact is that there are some very real limitations to science. There are many things it can do and do superbly. Our modern technology, our standard of living, all the gadgets that we have bear testimony to the foundation of science. We made the distinction earlier that science is simply a matter of gathering information about nature around us and then cataloging, compiling that information. Technology is a matter of coming to that information and then using that information to provide goodies of one kind or another. I made up my own definition of science some years ago. I'm sure that there are scientists that would not be real happy with it, but I would certainly be willing to defend the definition. Let me give it to you. Science is man-made, absolutely limited to human perception, based on bias and prejudice, and usually described in occult words. Now, each of those phrases is one that we have talked about, embodies a notion that we have talked about a little bit. So, it can be useful, it can be helpful. It is not a replacement for God. The information that we gain in science may not legitimately be used as a basis of rejecting Scripture. Now, if somebody wants to reject Scripture, that's fine. But don't use science as the basis for that. Someone came to Mark Twain some years ago and made the comment that they didn't read the Bible very much because they couldn't understand what it said. Though I don't happen to be a fan of Mark Twain particularly, having read everything that he's written, I think, his rejoinder was very good. He said it wasn't the things in Scripture that he didn't understand that bothered him, it was the things he did understand that bothered him. Now, that answer may be a little bit deceptive, but God is certainly not going to lean out of heaven with a baseball bat and club everybody in the head until they choose to accept his word. It's here. It's available for study. The biblical position, the Christian position, of course, is that the Scripture itself is a revelation from God, authoritative, trustworthy in the autographs. Even the letters of those autographs, the letters in the words were chosen, and there are examples in Scripture we could use to establish this. Science, on the other hand, is nothing of that sort. And any time a person elevates science to a position of refuting God's revelation, then they certainly misunderstand science, possibly misunderstand God's revelation as well. Now, scientists often embrace conflicting or, in some cases, opposite views or descriptions of certain phenomena. There are many examples of this kind of thing. We mentioned the view of light earlier, where one group of scientists will describe it as being wave-like, another as particulate, or the same scientist will take the opposite view based on depending on what he's happening to be doing at the time. This kind of thing is very common in science. Now, what a layman needs to understand about that, if you have knowledgeable scientists who are taking opposite views of the same phenomenon, there's at least one thing you can be dead sure of. That is that at least one of those two views is wrong. It's conceivable that they may both be wrong, but certainly one of them has to be wrong. Does that bother the science? Obviously it doesn't, because they keep using the conflicting views. And again, as long as you understand that science is workable, there's no problem with that. It simply allows them to go ahead and do something that they want to do. I tried to emphasize that there really is no such thing as scientific explanation, that what passes for scientific explanation is really a description. And if you'll recall, that description simply involves a person's preconceived ideas. I cannot conceive of how a person could describe something with no preconceptions about it. They have to use the preconceptions and adapt those to whatever it is that is being described. Is there anything wrong with that? Certainly not. But it's important to recognize it, because sometimes those descriptions end up being accepted as absolute truth. And they are not. They are simply description, nothing more, nothing less. Now, as long as science and scientists confine their observations to the proper domain and do not speculate beyond their proper boundaries, no Christian has any legitimate quarrel with science or scientists. This point, I think, is often missed. We call this unwarranted speculation scientism. And we've defined scientism as holding a view which is unwarranted on the basis of fact. Among other things, this means then that science cannot speak authoritatively about origins. Can't tell us about origins for the simple reason there wasn't any human there to see what was going on when it happened. It can't speak about spiritual matters. Science is not capable of making comments in the area of morals or ethics. And in our day, this is getting to be rather important, because we have science that has provided information that allows men to conduct research in areas that of necessity involve morals and ethics. The whole area of abortion is obviously one of these. There are certain areas of genetic engineering, which we will probably talk about later, that are examples of this. And as long as there is no basis in real ethics and real morals and real right and wrong to have a foundation of decisions, then you're going to have unregenerate men who feel free to go ahead and dabble around in areas that actually are or have the capability of violating biblical morality and ethics. And this area is going to be a continuing difficulty in days to come. We have simply opened the door to this kind of thing. And our young people, if the Lord tarries, as I think he is not going to, are going to face some very critical problems in trying to make decisions about the use of some of this scientific information that touches on the area of ethics and morality. One of these areas that's been publicized widely in recent days is simply the matter of death. science is not a basis for making decisions about that kind of thing. And when it is falsely used, improperly used as a basis for those decisions, then the decisions very likely are going to be wrong. Now, we could spend a lot more time here. I think I have said to you basically all that I want to, with one exception. If you have particularly a young student who is interested in science, and who is facing then some years spent in science classrooms, who has listened to all that I've said, and they are impressed with the idea that science is not the basis of truth, that it changes, that it's uncertain, etc., say, well, if that's the case, then I don't want to become involved with science. Well, that's certainly a person's choice. But there is a biblical basis, a biblical commandment for God's children to involve themselves in this area. That commandment is embraced in Genesis 1:28, where we see that the Lord commanded Adam and Eve to subdue the earth and have dominion over it. Now, this is an area that raises the hackles of a great many non-Christians in this day, or even some gullible Christians who are offended by the idea that man is supposed to be the director of nature itself today, or at least is placed in a position of dominion over it. For those individuals who accept the idea of physical monism, that everything is everything, then man all of a sudden simply becomes an organism in company of millions of organisms, and is of no more consequence than the seagull or the bald eagle or the whooping crane or bacteria, for that matter. Now, this again gets us into another area of reasonable importance, but it's not something I wish to spend time on here. The scripture simply indicates very plainly that God has ordained that man himself is in charge of God's creation. And some of these folks argue legitimately, man has made a mess of things. He's wiped out organisms and polluted it in certain areas and so on. And these charges within some limits are all correct. But that still is the relationship that God himself has ordained. And to simply violate that or leave it and decide that man is of no more consequence than any of the other organisms, and that we sort of let things run along as they would under their own direction. If we do anything other than that, then we are not being sensible. This is an argument that some find very potent, but as Bible believers, we must be sure we don't miss that biblical commandment. We are to subdue the earth and have dominion over it.
Thank you, Dr. Henson. You may send email to Dr. Henson at jhenson@bju.edu. That's jhenson@bju.edu. Or write to Dr. Joseph L. Henson, Box 34621, Bob Jones University, Greenville, South Carolina, zip code 29614, in the United States of America. You're invited to listen next time for The Bible and Modern Science.